Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another Lord's Day as we gather together around the Word of God. You tune me in either by the way of WDLP Belding at 7 o'clock, 93.1. We are streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You tune me in at Ionia, WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM. And also we are now being heard in the Lowell area at 100.3 FM. And we welcome all those of you from the Lowell Ada area. And that's at 8 o'clock. You've tuned me in. You've tuned me in at Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And folks, we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. You tuned me in some by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 11 o'clock. And those that's listening by the way of my website, I welcome you. My website is pastorkenharger.com. And then you go across the page until you see Messages from the Lighthouse. Bring your mouse up over Messages from the Lighthouse and you'll open up a thing that says Current Media. And you click on Current Media, you can either listen or download, whichever you desire to do so. There's also another page there that says Past Media. There's about 30 messages or so just waiting to be listened to. Whatever way you tuned me in this morning, I'm glad to have you joining me in our broadcast time together. I do need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial cost that's involved. And so a big thank you to Maria Vard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. And Marie lives in Dayton, Tennessee. A great big thank you to Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and she lives in Greenville. Gloria Spencer, also, who lives in Orleans, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. And we appreciate these ladies' support. And then to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, and the Bill and Judy Hammond family from the Belding area. Thank you each for all of the kindness that you give in supporting this broadcast, that it may go on week after week, and I appreciate that so much. I do need to say thank you to K.N. Kingsinger and that for her picking out our music this morning. I appreciate that very much. And I also want to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church Saturday evening. We begin the weekend of worship, as we call it, at Shiloh, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, a contemporary service at 10:45. We have a Greenville campus. That's an outreach of our ministry from Shiloh. Right now, we're at the old Lutheran Church. That's located at M91 up by McDonald's. Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Then after this time, they're going to be gathering at the old Baptist Church, Calvary Baptist Church there on Grove Street. You can see it. And that's where they're going to be moving to now because they got use of that building. So, and that's got a bigger parking lot. The church is growing some there, so we're really glad for that. Thank you for tuning me in whatever way you did, and God's blessing to be upon you and yours today. It's a Wednesday morning that I decided to make the broadcast for today, and I'm over here at the lighthouse, and a beautiful sunrise. Matter of fact, where my table sets, where I put the broadcast together, I had to pull that blind down a little bit because the sun was bright in my eyes, and I apologized that I didn't want to shut the sun out because I've been waiting a long, long time for that sun to shine. But it's a beautiful morning here, and I trust it's a beautiful morning where you are and that God's blessing would be upon you. Our message this morning is going to be entitled Some Examples of Foundation of Surrender That Begins Within Your Heart and My Heart. I love dressing this morning, and so we'll just get started in just a moment. One of the songs that we're going to listen to get us started is called A Net-Breaking, Boat-Sinking Blessing. One of the things that I'll be addressing a little bit this morning is some God things. And later on in the scripture, we'll be looking at a portion of scripture where Jesus told them to drop their nets down, and Peter dropped a net down, but it was about ready to break and about ready to make the boat sink. They had such a great catch of fish. So we'll listen to this song, and it kind of prepares our hearts and minds for the message, and then we'll be right back and share the message with you that God has laid upon my heart. Just as soon as I get the pencil number, there we go. Couldn't get that number to come up. We're glad to have you here this morning. Here we go. Hope you're ready. God bless you.
The disciples were ready to quit and give in. Hope had become a stranger to them. They fished all night with nothing to show, just empty nets and nowhere to go. Then Jesus came along with just one word. They threw out their nets on what they had heard. Obedience taught them what they needed to see. It happened to them, it's happening to me. I've got net-breaking boats, seeking bountiful blessings on me. He's raining them down, I'm telling you I'm in deep. He'll walk on the water to meet my need. I'm looking around and all I see are net-breaking boats, seeking bountiful blessings on me. Pressed down, running over indeed. Shaken together, his blessings I see. I can say, cause I'm living proof, there's nothing that my God cannot do. Trust in the Lord and plant my seed. Goodness and mercy are following me. I've learned to let go of what's in my hand. Release it to God and he fills it again with net-breaking boats, sinking bountiful blessings on me. He's raining them down, I'm telling you I'm in deep. He'll walk on the water to meet my need. I'm looking around and all I see are net-breaking boats, sinking bountiful blessings on me. I've got net-breaking boats, sinking bountiful blessings on me. I'm in deep. He'll walk on the water to meet my need. I'm looking around and all I see are net-breaking boats seeking bountiful blessings on me.
Blessings on me.
Net-breaking boats seeking bountiful blessings on me.
Net-breaking boats seeking.
Net-breaking boats seeking bountiful blessings on me.
Well, that woke us up, didn't it? That should get us really started this morning. The blessing of the Lord upon us. And I'll address the thoughts that's in that song as we come to that a little later this morning. But we just want to gain from God the blessings that he has for us today. And I just want to remember the listening audience this morning and ask the Lord to bless you in a very special way. You're my focus this morning. You're why I'm here, sitting at the lighthouse and sharing with this microphone the message that God has laid on my heart for today. But my only reason for doing that is as I reach out to you, the listening audience. And I appreciate you, the listening audience. I bump into many of you that tell me you're listening to the broadcast, and I appreciate that so much. Because I don't have anybody in front of me, it's just me and the microphone. And yet at the same time, it's a good feeling to know that you've tuned me in this morning. So let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, I come to you on behalf of the listening audience. What a privilege I've had all these years to be able to share with people, many I've never met, and some I have, and some have been a part of the broadcast for a long time, and I thank you for each and every one. I thank you for the station that carries my program this morning, that your blessing would be upon them in a special way. Dear Father, we realize that the main thing that we're here for this morning is we want to be an encouragement and a strength to those that have tuned us in. So I want to pray for the listening audience. I don't know what all they're going through. Another week has gone by. And yet, Father, there may be some people that's tuned in this morning that's very discouraged. And I pray, dear Father, that you would encourage them. Some that's lost a loved one. Some that's found out they just have cancer. Some that's going through sickness and they're concerned about it and maybe even a little bit scared about it. Others may be in the nursing home. Others may be who knows where. Some may be just driving in their car right now headed to church and they tuned me in. So, Father, I just pray that you would just be pleased to bless the listening audience this morning. Whatever their need is, would you meet them at the point of their need? I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, I trust you had a beautiful Easter. We had a beautiful Easter time together, had a good message at church, and got to see a lot of people that gathered together with us there at Shiloh. And then we had family in the afternoon that we was able to spend some time with, and got a granddaughter that's getting married in August. And so it was the excitement of talking about that and so on. So a very special time at our house. But as I come to this morning's message, I'm not going to leave Easter behind quite yet, because there's something that I shared on Easter Sunday morning, and generally that something is the part of the service for the weekend, for the day. And why I wanted to talk about the two men that were traveling on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord Jesus met them and talked with them. I love the idea in that story, and that's going to be our foundation for what we're talking about today, is the life of the Lord Jesus and what he's trying to pass on in that life of his to each one of us today. And you know, those men were walking and they're talking about the crucifixion, and they was talking about their disappointment that they thought Jesus would be the one that would set up his kingdom there on earth. And their eyes were kind of dim to the fact they didn't recognize Jesus. Most people didn't recognize Jesus at first, right after the resurrection. And he'd come and he joined them, and he's asking them, what kind of a conversation is that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? I love that. Jesus recognized just in their walk, their body language, so to speak, that they were sad. And one of them answered him and said to him, are you a stranger here in Jerusalem? Don't you know what all's been going on through these last few days? And Jesus, acting like he's not for sure what's going on, he said, what things? They said unto him, things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. He was a mighty prophet indeed, and the word before God and all the people, and all how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today, the third day since these things happened, yes, and certain of our women of our company who arrived at the tomb early were astonished when they did not find Jesus' body. They came saying that he also had seen a vision, an angel who had said he was alive. And certain of those of our group went to the tomb and found it was just as the women said, but him they did not see. He said unto them, listen to this, I love Jesus' way of doing this. O foolish ones, he said, you're very slow to heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then he began at Moses, and he began talking about all the verses through the Moses' five books and through the prophets. He expounded to them on the scripture, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to a village, and he was making as though he was going to travel on, and they encouraged him to stay. Stay with us. It's getting late in the evening, they would say unto him. And as he went in to stay with them, and it came to pass as they got ready to eat supper, Jesus took some bread, and he broke it. And all of a sudden, those disciples remembered, we've seen that before. And they recognized that it was Jesus. Their eyes were opened. And just like that, Jesus vanished. And they talked with him, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road to Emmaus. He opened to us the scripture, and we understood. So they rose up that very hour. It's about 7 miles they had walked, and they returned to Jerusalem, the 7 miles. They went back a whole lot faster, and they got the disciples together, and they said, Jesus, we've seen him. He is risen. He's appeared to us. Then they told him what happened, how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. I love that story. I love the thoughts behind that story. Jesus joins us where we are in our walk with him. And the things that we don't understand, he will slowly give it to us. He reminds himself, oh, you're foolish and slow at heart to believe. That hasn't changed much, folks. Sometimes we're slow at heart to believe. But once we do, we recognize how this all fit together. And that's what Jesus did with those disciples. Life don't really make sense if you leave God out. Can I say that again? Life don't really make sense if you leave God out. I need God in my life every day. I love the idea that he walks with me and talks with me. I got to tell you, folks, life itself is tough without God. And it's surely much tougher to even think about this process called death without God. And God's word plays an important part in that, because he gives us promises for life and he gives us promises for death. He gives us promises such as, I will never abandon you. I will never leave you. That you can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. And you know, I don't know about you, but just the way life is, even this old age thing, I tell you, I got more aches and pains in my body than I've ever had before at 84. And I got to tell you, folks, I'm so glad that I got God. I love God's word. One of the verses that I use when I do funerals says something like this. If you live to be 80, there's strength, there's labor, and there's sorrow. That don't sound too exciting. He's saying everything's a little tougher. And it is. But he promises to go with us. He's promised that he'll go with us through all the age of our life. With that thought in mind, what I want to do this morning is share with you the idea that we need a foundation for our life. And I believe the foundation that God wants to give to us must begin in our heart. We must have a heart's desire to want to know what God has done for us and what he wants to do with us. And the Lord Jesus is the greatest example that I could show you on having a foundation for his life. I love the way the Lord Jesus faced the reality of coming into this world and becoming one of us, and his willingness to die upon that cross with the promise that one day he was going to rise. And I love it that the Father gave him the power, because one place Jesus said, the Father has given me the authority to lay down my life, and the Father has given me the authority to pick my life back up. That's the resurrection. That's the hope that we have. And I want you to think of this from the book of Philippians, which is where we get the first little peek of the aftermath of death, burial, and resurrection. It says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God. He was the second person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But this one, Jesus, made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, he became human like us. And being found in the appearance as a man, it says he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even that awful death of the cross. That's in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. There are two words that help us to understand what I'm thinking about when I'm thinking about the foundation of surrender. The two words are our mind and our obedience. The word mind sometimes refers to our attitude towards what God is asking us to do. The word obedience is that place of surrender of the will of my will to the will of God. It'll never be to the degree that Jesus was obedient, not only to death, but the awful death of the cross. You're never going to have to go that far, folks, where Jesus went for you and I. But he's reminding us that we need to know that from our heart, we're willing to do that. That's an attitude, a heart attitude that Jesus was willing to come and do all that he did. And then a heart attitude is a realization that it leads to obedience. He not only left heaven and all the glory he had with the Father, he laid down all of the power and authority that he had. He was there for creation. But he laid that all aside. And he humbled himself and became obedient to the cross. This week we will look at what times people were called upon to come to a place of surrender. By the way, when I think of the word surrender, I think it's just, we don't see this much no more today, but there was a time when they would say they will fly a white flag. And the white flag means I surrender. Sometimes I'm seeing some boxing. I like to watch boxing once in a while. And sometimes I've seen some boxing going on and the guy's really getting beat up. And then they'll throw in a flag into the center of the fighting place to let them know, hey, we're giving up. We're surrendering. He's the winner. And that's what God is wanting us to do to him, to surrender to his guidance and to his leadership. You know, the surrendering began for the Lord Jesus as he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, there will be points in your life and mine, every now and then is a point, whereby we have to go through some really difficult things that's made up a part of that surrender. And that's what the Gethsemane experience was to Jesus. He took with him his disciples and went to the place called the Gethsemane, and he's letting them know, I'm really troubled right now. There's something ahead of me that I would just soon not do. So stay here and watch with me for a little while, would you? I'm just going to go a little further, and I'm going to have a prayer. Jesus goes a little further, and he fell down on his face, and he's praying to God the Father, saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this, Father. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You know, that's the heart of Jesus. He doesn't really want to do what he's doing, going to be doing, but he wants the Father's will. And nevertheless, not my will. That's the word, nevertheless, not my will. But your will. He went back and guess what? The disciples were all sleeping. He woke them up and said, couldn't you wait with me for just a little while? I'm going through one of the toughest times of my life. And they were asleep. Watch and pray, he said, that you don't enter into temptation. He went back and he prayed again the second time. And he ended up the same way. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And you know something, folks? He came back again, and the disciples were asleep. He went one more time, and it said, he prayed the same thing. Father, let this cup pass from me. But if there's no other way, not my will, but your will be done. Nevertheless, your will be done. That's what I call the Gethsemane experience. I've had a few Gethsemane experiences in my life through the years. And you know, if you live long enough, you'll have a lot of those kinds of things too. There are some really tough times when we got to surrender to something that we really don't like. But we know that God's will is the best for us. And it's best for the situation of whatever it may be that we're having difficulty surrendering. There's a psalm in the book of Psalms that says in the 37th psalm, surrender yourself to the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's the hard thing to do, to wait patiently for him. I want us to know that Gethsemane experience was a tough time in the life of Jesus. But it was a necessary time because that's where he came to the point of surrendering to die on that cross, that him who knew no sin was willing to become sin for each and every one of us. I want you to remind you today that they're not all going to be difficult things like the Gethsemane experience was to Jesus. Many times in our life there will be learning experiences so we can surrender to God's word. There's an example that I really like that is used about Peter in his boat, and he was a fisherman. And one time when Jesus was teaching people, there was wide water there. And, you know, they would gather a big crowd. And so Jesus said to Peter, I want to use your boat. I mean, get in your boat and go out just a little ways into the water, and I'll sit here and I'll teach the people. You know, folks, that's a beautiful thing that he did. He thrust out into the water a little bit, maybe went out about 100 yards or so, and he started talking to the people. You know what the lake became? The lake became an amplifier for him. As he talked on the water, the people could hear it on the shore. And it was very clear what he was saying, and that was very special. I remember being over here at the lighthouse one time, and I had the windows open because it was summertime. There were some guys out in a boat about 100 yards or so, maybe a little further from the lighthouse. And their conversation, I could hear them talking. And I heard them say this. They said, you know, they told us to go out about 100 yards from the lighthouse, and that's where they caught a whole mess of fish. I thought, man, the lighthouse has become a marking thing around the lake. You know, that's pretty special. But you know something? Jesus used that water so he could talk to them. He taught the lesson that he wanted to teach, and in the book of Luke, chapter 5, is where this is located. Jesus said to Peter, launch out into the deeper water and let down your nets for a catch. Jesus was going to give them some income because of using the boat. But Simon answered him and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Now here's this word again, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. I want to draw your attention to that. Jesus said, let down your nets. Peter said, well, this isn't the time to fish, but nevertheless, you say to do it. I'll let down the net, one net. And when they had done that, they caught a great number of fish that their net was about breaking. So they signaled to their partners, other fishing guys there, when the other boats to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats, so they began to sink. Now, that's a fishing story. They filled both boats with fish. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. I don't deserve any of this. And that's pretty special. For he and all who were with him were astonished at that great catch of fish when you shouldn't be catching fish, which had taken place. They also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, Simon. From now on, you're going to catch men. I'm going to make you into a fisher of men. So when they got to shore on the other side, they left their nets and they followed the Lord Jesus. I would remind you this morning, Peter was a fisherman, and that was his trade, and he was a good fisherman, and he knew when it was time to fish and when it wasn't. But I love his answer to Jesus when he says, I'll let down the net. But I love the main thing on that answer. Nevertheless, at your word, I must remind you. Jesus said nets, and Peter let down one net. That's why it was so difficult for him. What a fishing story, like no other fishing story. And at the same time, this brings about a blessing into our hearts and lives. And that's what that song meant. God's done some things in my life that are bigger than me. God's done some things in my life that's been more than I ever anticipated it would be. That's where I like to think of the realization that he does above and beyond what we think about. It goes more than we can anticipate. And that's the blessing of the Lord upon our lives. Well, we'll get to that in just a moment, but we got to listen to a song that I think is showing us that we need to get this into our hearts because we need to be ministered to our hearts. Jesus is not trying to minister to our heads. He's trying to minister to our hearts. And I think the result of that is that it comes to that point where you and I will say what this song is saying. I'll bless your name, Lord. I'll bless you. Those disciples that day blessed him. What a catch of fish. And how much that meant to their lives. Let's listen in.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night. Their chains were loosed, and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you all.
Bless his name for what he is. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. the blessings that he brings upon our lives causes us to bless his name. Those disciples were blessing the name of Jesus because of that great fish, catch of fish. God's blessing was upon them. They were blessed in a material way. Sometimes we're blessed in a spiritual way. Sometimes we're blessed with comfort for a difficult time that we're experiencing in our life. And I don't know the connection between the catching of this great amount of fish, but I do know I got another story from the book of Matthew chapter 8 where they were in the boat once again. And God's going to reveal to them his power, his love, his strength. When they was in this boat and headed to the other side of the water. And the Lord Jesus was tired. And he went down in the bottom of the boat and was taking a little nap. Jesus needed a little nap. That's good to know. That's good for us to remind ourselves. Once in a while we need a little nap. And all of a sudden when Jesus was sleeping, there came up a storm on the body of water they were on. And all of a sudden the waves and the wind was blowing. And the waves increased with the wind. I did some fishing in Canada on Rice Lake, and I got to tell you, that lake isn't very deep. And when the wind came up, the waves became high. And that's what happened here. All of a sudden the waves were coming over the edge of the boat. And the disciples were getting a little wet. And Jesus was asleep down the bottom of the boat. And his disciples came to him and they woke him up and they saying, Lord, save us. We're going to perish out here. But he said to them, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Saying, got to get a hold of something. I'm with you. I'm promised to never leave you. So Jesus gets up. He arose and he spoke the word. He rebuked the wind. Peace be still. And the sea he rebuked. Be calm. And all of a sudden there was a great calm. And so those disciples marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? They were seeing a side of Jesus that they had not seen before. We must put ourselves in their place where the disciples found themselves in when they, at the course of that day, when they're in the boat and all of a sudden there's this tremendous unexpected storms and the waves are climbing over the top of the boat and they were afraid. And so quickly they woke up Jesus and cried out, we're going to perish. They were afraid of drowning. Jesus' response was simply, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? And he rebuked the waves and the wind and the calmness came. You know what that said to him? This is deity. This isn't just a man. This is deity. This is God. It's a God thing. He calmed the winds and the waves. I can speak to the waves at Long Lake and nothing will happen. I can speak to the wind. Sometimes when I'm in the cemetery, it's so windy, I think, you know, I'd like to speak to that cold wind. But nothing would happen. But even the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. When he said, be still, or be calm, they obeyed. Why do we have such a difficult time, is what Jesus is saying. For us as people to obey what we're told to do. Why do we have this difficult time seeming to trust him? It seems like there's little that impresses us in our computer age that we're living in. But as a Christian, I don't want to allow that to disappear, the wows that God does in our life. I've come to call them God things. There's many things in my life that I reflect upon that I know was a God thing. It was God that did that. I had nothing to do with that. It was just God worked that out. That's where the disciples are. It's a God thing. He wanted them to have faith in him, and the storms are calm now. But you know what? There's also a lesson for us to learn that not only are the storms and the wind and the wave calm, but the disciples are calm. They marveled. That excitement. Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. You know, that's what I want us to think of for just a few moments. Is this idea of a God thing. I believe God does those kinds of things in our life. I believe every now and then we may have a Gethsemane experience. But I believe if you watch in your life, you realize that sometimes you'll have what I call a God thing. There'll be a time when something happens in your life that you know only God could have brought that about. And you need to celebrate that. You need to marvel at that, that God of the universe did something very special just for you when he did that. That's something to hang on to, folks. And you know what I've noticed? If you watch, you'll be able to see some of those God things. But if we just take everything for granted, if we take things for an entitlement that we deserve this, we'll miss it. What we need to do is, like the disciples did, Jesus, we're going to die. And he rebuked the wind and the waves. And that brought marvel into their life. That brought wow into their life. And every now and then, God will wow you. Show you something special that he did just for you to help you in your individual life. And that's so important. You know, one of the things I think we need to realize is sometimes God uses his word to do that. He spoke to the winds and the waves and they obeyed. He said to Peter, drop your net and nets and you'll catch some fish. And the fish were in the net enough to almost sink a couple, three boats. God's word, what God says. I'm going to just take a few moments now and share some of the responses that I found in the scripture concerning Jesus' words. When Jesus finished teaching, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. He is teaching them as one having authority, not as the scribes. He came one time to his hometown and began to teach them in the synagogue, and they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom? And how can he do these mighty miracles that he does? When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many listeners were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is given to him? And such miracles that he's able to perform by his hand. And one day the Jews were astonished, saying, how has this man become learned, having been uneducated? And they were unable to catch Jesus, even those that were trying to catch him in his sayings and the things that he said. And they were amazed. The people that were sent to trick him, they were amazed at his answers. And it says that silenced them. We can draw from these verses that Jesus was teaching much differently than the religious leaders of his day. He was teaching them as one having authority, asking, where does this wisdom come from? How can he do the things that he does? He's not an educated man. We know him. He was grown up there in this little town of Nazareth. The foundation of surrender today for you and I is what is said of Jesus. You see, what God told us, and sometimes we forget it, is that when Jesus became one of us, when Jesus became a human being, it says Jesus was the Word of God. You see, there's the Bible, which is the written Word of God. And there is Jesus who was teaching people, which is the living Word of God. Listen to what it says in John chapter 1. The Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. When Jesus was speaking, it was God speaking through his Son, the Lord Jesus. In this living information age that you and I are part of, it seems like the biggest thing that is done today is reaches the head. But God is trying to reach the heart. Now, there's times when you and I need to surrender our thinking to God's thinking. But I got to tell you, even when those times come, it'll be a lot easier to do if you surrender your heart to God. God, I want to know. I want heart knowledge. I want heart knowledge of what's going on. One of the earlier prayers that I learned as a Christian was, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I think we need to know it's coming from the heart that God is reaching out to you and to me. He just doesn't want to make us smarter people. He just doesn't want us to make, because that's going to create some kind of a pride in us. He wants us to have a humble heart and a heart whereby we can be touched by him. I got to tell you, folks, a head can reach a head, but a heart can reach a heart. And that's what Jesus is out for. That's what he wants to accomplish in my life, and that's what he wants to accomplish in your life. But we have to obey. You know, I remember I talked about the foundation for your life. The foundation for your life just can't be that you hear these words of wisdom and knowledge and blessing. But we got to obey those words. The foundation is not only to be a hearer of the Word of God, but to be a doer of the Word of God. Jesus is talking about the need of obedience. I need to say this, and I need to say it probably a couple of times. Obedience to Christ is not an option. It's the very foundation of the Christian life. Let me say that again. Obedience to Christ is not an option. It's the very foundation for your Christian life. It's not that, I won't obey this. No, the foundation of your Christian life is obedience. One day Jesus said this in the book of Luke. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, does my sayings, I'll show you whom he is like. And Jesus is going to give one of his stories. But you know what he's saying? If I'm Lord, then why don't you obey me? How come you just want to be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word? He said, let me explain it to you. You need a foundation. And the foundation you need is obedience. You need to be obedient to the things that I'm saying to you, the things that you know in the Word of God. So let's listen to his story. He said, you know what? It's like a man building a house who dug down and laid a foundation on the rock. His house was built upon a firm foundation, a rock. And when the floods arose and the streams beat upon the house very hard and against the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. That's where it was. That's what made it so special. But he who hears and does nothing, he doesn't obey, he doesn't do what I tell him to do, he says, you know what? He's like the man that built his house on the sand. And when he built his house on the sand, when the storms came and beat upon the house fell, and great was the ruin of that house. The question Jesus is asking, are you doing what I'm asking you to do? Do you realize that obedience is something that is necessary for the foundation of your life as an individual? Jesus is using the building of a house to show the relationship Jesus wants between you and I, not only being a hearer of God's word, but to making sure that we're doing the doer of God's word. Do you have that foundation this morning? Obedience to God is a priority, not an option. It's what the foundation of your Christian life is going to be built upon. It's getting close for my time to go. And I guess the only thing I could say to you this morning, as I say to myself, is, you know, we got to allow God to create in us a new heart. A clean heart, a heart that's a blessing to him. I'm going to close with a song that simply is saying that God, I want you to create in me a clean heart before you. Thank you for letting me share with you this morning. God bless you. Let us obey him.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me.
Spirit,
take not thy Holy Spirit from me.